For just a few moments to Mark's Gospel in the chapter 10. Mark's Gospel in the chapter 10, we're going to break into the chapter at the verse 46. And then we'll read together down through to the end of the chapter. Mark's Gospel, the chapter 10 and the verse 46, and the Word of God says, "And they came to Jericho, as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people. Blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, thy son of David, have mercy on me.' And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, 'Thy son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stood still and commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, 'Be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee.' And he, casting away his garment, rose and came to Jesus. And Jesus answered and said unto him, 'What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?' The blind man said unto him, 'Lord, that I might receive my sight.' And Jesus said unto him, 'Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus in the way." Amen. And so reads the word of the Lord. As we come to this service tonight, you may find yourself here because of a personal invitation you've received from one of the candidates for baptism. Perhaps you're here because you count them to be a friend, or perhaps there's that close bond and affinity of being a family member, part of a larger family circle. But whatever the case may be, as we gather together for this very special occasion, we will in just a few moments watch as the number of candidates go through these waters of baptism and thereby publicly declare to you and to all assembled that they have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ for their soul salvation. Make no mistake about it, as we gather here tonight, that which we will do in just a few moments, and that which is administered here in this local assembly, will in no way save any man, any woman, or any boy, or any girl. Because that which we come to do, that which is administered, that being the ordinance of baptism, as we refer to it from the Word of God, is simply but a testimony, an outward showing of what God has already done in the hearts and lives of all who come and present themselves as suitable candidates for baptism tonight. And so as we remark upon them and their lives, and as in just a few moments you hear a brief little synopsis of their testimony, we declare that even as they have gathered themselves together, that they have publicly professed that moment in their life's experience whenever God stepped in. And whenever by his marvelous, matchless grace, he transformed them and made them a new creature in him. And so as we come to the Word of God tonight, we come to another moment whenever into the life of an individual, God came. God in the person of Jesus Christ stepped in and marvelously transformed this man, Bartimaeus, in such a way that what we read of at the end is far removed and far different from what we read of at the beginning. And truly that is what God alone is able to do. That is what the message of God and the gospel continually proclaims, that God can save a sinner and transform them and make them a new creation, make them a witness of his and a testimony of his grace and of his power, make them ready for heaven, make them ready for home. And so as we come to the Word of God tonight, we come to an account that I believe is given to us to illustrate in a clear and unequivocal manner just what he has done for so many in this building tonight, what he has done for the 10 candidates for baptism this evening, and what he is, without a shadow of a doubt, able to do for you in a spiritual sense tonight. The hymn writer penned it this way: "I once was lost, but now I am found, was blind, but now I see. We heard it sang to us just a few moments ago, those very words, that testimony of what was once in existence so radically changed and transformed that the complete opposite is true by the end of the sentence. That, my friend, is what God is able to do for you tonight. Gathering with us, perhaps as you do, outside of Christ, never having personally come to Him for salvation, never repented of your sin, never believed in the gospel. This is what, as we offer the gospel once more, God is able to do for you. Tonight it can be your story. Tonight you can find yourself in the place of Bartimaeus. Here tonight and spiritually blind, just as Bartimaeus was in a physical manner, you are in a spiritual manner. But just as Bartimaeus knew a miracle worked in his life, just as he knew what it was at the end of the account to see in a physical way and to see in a physical manner for the very first time, you can leave here tonight having been transformed by the grace of God and more alive than ever before. I want you to notice first and foremost in this account that's given to us the condition of Bartimaeus. The condition of Bartimaeus. The Bible tells us there that as they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. Here the Bible refers to him as being a blind man. We know, comparing Scripture with Scripture, that this has been the case from his very moment of entering into this world, from his very birth. He has known blindness to be his reality. Now, you and I have an understanding of what it means to be blind in some sense. We can enter into that reality just a little bit. And in doing so, it highlights to us how all-encompassing this disability truly is. Just where you are right now, close your eyes and allow me to count to 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. That which you have just experienced, even for just 10 seconds, was a reality that Bartimaeus lived with every single day. He couldn't see the mountain ranges. He couldn't see the swelling tides. He couldn't behold the birds and the flowers that were all around. Birds and flowers were simply sounds and smells to him. He couldn't see the physical complexion of a father or mother. He had never observed even family members and friends for himself. Bartimaeus was also one who could not distinguish between safety and danger. He could not, for himself, in a moment of peril, see just how close he was to disaster, nor indeed how far away he was from safety. And just like Bartimaeus was, so too I tell you that if you're here tonight and you're outside of Christ, that's the reality for you in a spiritual sense. That which you experience for just a few brief seconds in a physical way is what is the reality of your soul tonight, that part of you then to which God has breathed, that part that lives forever. You're spiritually blind. You're unable in and of yourself to see that which is all around. This reality for Bartimaeus that was lived out day by day is a reality of your spiritual existence as you have come into this world, and from a child you've been spiritually blind to your need to the truth that God's word reveals about all of us. Spiritually you cannot see the wondrous works of God. Spiritually you cannot behold the beauty and the glory of your heavenly Father, and tonight you travel through life spiritually unable to discern just how near to disaster you really are. And just how far away from safety you really are. Bartimaeus was sitting there by the roadside. Perhaps it's true to say that as he sat there day by day, he pondered in his mind and he asked himself whether the ocean truly was beautiful, whether the fruit tree was appealing to the eye, whether the most appealing hair color known was blonde or ginger or brunette, or whether no hair at all was the way to be. But spiritually tonight, because of your blindness, your spiritual blindness, the Bible tells us that your understanding is darkened. Your ignorance of spiritual things is all because of that spiritual blindness into which we are all born. And so tonight, that manifests itself in your lack of understanding about life. Your lack of understanding as to the reason that you were born. Your true life, your knowledge of life and the true void that is found within, your lack of knowledge of lasting happiness, your lack of contentment, true contentment, your life without true peace at all, is all because of your spiritual blindness. And could it be tonight that it has progressed to such a point that here you are found within a Bible-preaching church where the Word of God is opened, where the gospel is declared once more, but you're here tonight and you are firmly an unbeliever. Why? Because you question whether God exists. You question whether He did create this world. You question whether this salvation business is all really genuine at all. So tonight, see for yourself how that the summary given to us here of the condition of Bartimaeus perfectly illustrates to one and to all and to you tonight your condition when it comes to the spiritual reality of your soul. Notice not only Bartimaeus' condition. Notice, secondly, his call. The Bible tells us he's sitting there by the roadside and he's begging, and no doubt this was something he was accustomed to doing day after day, time after time. No doubt in my mind that he was a permanent fixture, as it were, on the roadside for all who came and went from the city of Jericho. The Bible tells us this day that when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out. And he cried out and he said, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." There were many gathered around him who no doubt would have done what many of us would do if such an experience happened where we were. Especially at a time whenever someone who was considered to be of some importance in that time, and the Lord Jesus Christ was such a one, as men and women flocked from all around to hear his preaching, his teaching, and to behold his wondrous works. Because remember, the Bible records for us that never spake a man like this before. And so gathered around him that day were those who were less interested in hearing his cry and more interested in seeing what would unfold in the moments to come. And so instead of encouraging him or instead of assisting him, what did they do? They hushed him. But the Bible tells us that this man was persistent. He wasn't going to give up easily. And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal. Here was a man who was going to be heard. Above all the commotion, above all the tunes and froings, above all the shushing of those who were gathered around, his cry prevailed. "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." Understanding that call testifies to us a level of knowledge in Bartimaeus' heart and mind. He didn't ask who it was. And upon hearing who it was, he didn't ask for further explanation as to why this person was passing by or to why this man was so commonly followed by such a large crowd. No, there's a level of knowledge in the mind and in the heart and in the understanding of this blind man. Well, he couldn't see for himself that it was Jesus. He couldn't even identify the exact location where Jesus was and his perspective to where he was. But nevertheless, he cried out and he said, "Thy Son of David, have mercy on me." Tonight, there's no doubt in my mind that I am speaking to many who have a same level of understanding. Undoubtedly, it could be the case that I'm speaking to someone who for the very first time is being made aware of the claims of the gospel, the truth of the gospel as presented in the Word of God, no doubt about it. But the vast majority of all who gather here tonight have within their heart and within their mind an understanding of all that I speak of. You have a knowledge of the Scriptures. You have a knowledge of the salvation message. And that being the case, you will be more than aware of the centrality of this man, this one, Jesus Christ. The Bible reveals him to be the Son of God. And as we heard this morning around the table from a dear brother in the fellowship, he was the only begotten, but he was a well-beloved Son of God. But nevertheless, he was ordained and appointed to be the Savior of the world. And according to the plan of God to save your soul and mine, the Bible tells us that in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ came into the world. He was found in flesh, just as you and I. But nevertheless, he was without sin. And through all his earthly journey, he never ceased to be God. Fully man, yet fully God. His earthly journey saw 30 years pass. And then began a period that we refer to as his earthly ministry here on earth. Were together with 12 disciples. He did that which we have been reading off tonight. He made his way from one place to the next, preaching, teaching, showing compassion, demonstrating his power, demonstrating his love. But nevertheless, that whole journey was a journey in which humility was required. For that journey was a journey that would one day lead him to the cross. Something that the Bible refers to and reminds us that in that moment, he humbled himself, became obedient. Obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He arrived at Jerusalem. And there in an upper room with his disciples, he observed the very first of the Lord's Supper. It's a time of Passover. A time whenever many people were well accustomed to the slaying of a sacrifice, the shedding of blood. But nevertheless, what would transpire in the hours to come would be the ultimate sacrifice and would be the supreme demonstration of the shedding of blood. Being found in that upper room, he did, of course, identify one who was not with him in heart and in soul. That being Judas. And leaving that gathering, he went out into the night, and there he found those to whom he had already betrayed his Lord. The one who had called him, but the one who he turned his back upon. The one whom he rejected. The one whom, despite the closeness that he enjoyed being with him throughout all those years, nevertheless, that was as close as he will ever come to being a true child of God. Judas betrayed him. For into the Garden of Gethsemane, he brought a band of soldiers. And identifying the Lord with a kiss, the Lord then was taken and march from that garden at the hands of cruel men. He's taken to the place of judgment. There in Pilate's judgment hall, he was ridiculed. He was mocked. He was lied against. Because man desired to do his worst to the only begotten perfect Son of God. Taken from the judgment hall, he found himself in Gabbatha, the place of the pavement. And there he was stripped. And being found naked right before a band of soldiers, he was passed from one soldier to the next so that they could slap him. They could beat him. They could pluck his very beard from off his face. Then they put a scarlet robe upon him and thrust a crown of thorns upon his head, and mockingly they cried, "Behold, the King of the Jews." From that hall, he was taken then to a balcony, where assembled below were crowds of people who had gathered in the city for the time of Passover. And there, beholding the Lamb of God, whom John declared at the beginning of his earthly ministry was the one who would take away the sins of the world, they rejected him. And with one voice cried, "Crucify him." Putting a cross of wood upon his back, he was then further humiliated by that long march and walk out of the city and up the hill of Golgotha, the place of the skull, the place that we call Calvary. There upon that cross, he lay down willingly, allowing his hands and his feet to be fixed to that cross of wood with nails, with hammer blows so deafening as they made their way through his skin and his hands and his bone, ensuring that he was fixed to that very piece of wood. But the Bible tells us he never opened his mouth. He never complained. He never said, "Why me?" He never said, "If you only knew who I was." He never called the legions of angels that were at his disposal. No, silently, humbly, quietly, he surrendered himself to his Father's will. There upon the cross, he was crucified. For 3 hours, suffered the billows of the wrath of God poured out upon him, culminating in that great cry, "My God, my Father God, why have you forsaken me?" And yet the refrain from his lips repeatedly was, "Father, forgive them." He was buried in a tomb. Praise God, he rose again, and tonight he stands the risen, exalted, glorified Lord. And he says to you, spiritually blind here tonight, I'm passing by. I'm right here. And if you will but call unto me, recognizing and identifying it within you as a condition that is known as a sin condition, that has marred your life, that has meant that there's been many moments and years of disappointment that cannot be ever solved by anything you ever will do, anything you ever can give, or anything you can ever be. It can only be solved by calling upon me. Tonight he's passing by. Tonight, where you are, in the highway of life, spiritually blind and unable to identify all that's going on around you, unable to perceive the reality of the disaster that awaits you and how far away from safety you truly are, Christ stands and he says, here I am, reach out, call out. By simple faith, believe in me. This wasn't a complicated prayer. It wasn't a wordy prayer. It wasn't a long prayer. It was, Jesus, have mercy on me. We see his condition. We see his call. But it was thirdly and finally, his cure. The Bible tells us that Jesus stood still. He commanded him to be called. And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort, rise, he calleth thee. Sinner, understand tonight that Jesus is passing by. But pass by he will. Because you will never find an instance in this book where he thrusts his love or compels one to receive his grace. Jesus will stand still just as he did for Bartimaeus. He will stand still for you whenever you call upon him. But I urge you, in all the reality of what we perceive tonight, don't let him pass by. For in him passing by passes the moment of opportunity to receive the same cure that Bartimaeus knew. Knowing the assistance of others he gets from where he is. Cast away his garments, he rose and he came to Jesus. And Jesus said unto him, what wilt that I should do unto thee? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. Jesus said unto him, go thy way. Thy faith hath made thee whole. And salvation is just as simple as that. Calling, asking, and you will receive. Here the blind man said, open my eyes. We can rephrase it to simply mean the same thing, but using different words, and say he asked the Lord to change his life. That which he had known from a child was now no longer. For when Jesus stood and heard the petition that he uttered from his lips, Jesus transformed him. Jesus made him anew. That is what he is able to do for you tonight. He is able to take away that curse of spiritual blindness. He's able to take away that burden that you are unable in and of yourself to do anything about. He's able to change your life, so that it will never be the same again. Just as the timeless testimony of Bartimaeus was and is and forever will be. Tonight you're going to see 10 people go through the waters of baptism. 10 people who once sat where you sat. Who once were blind like you are blind. 10 people who called out to Christ as he passed by, believed in their hearts, confessing their sin. And tonight they come and they present themselves here, a new creation, with a life transformed for time, but also for eternity. Sinner, tonight, will you call? Just where you are, will you call upon the Lord? Will you see in him all that you ever have wanted and all that you will ever need? Come. Come by faith to him. Father, we pray that by thy Spirit that thou wouldst do a work in hearts tonight. We pray that there would be that recognition of spiritual blindness. And Father, as the knowledge of Christ passing by has been made known to everyone here tonight, we pray that young and old, man and woman, all who need thee tonight, will call upon thee. We pray that there will not be that instance of a hardening of the heart, but rather tonight, if they hear your voice, oh Father, may they call, and may they find thee true to thy word, and may they leave here a life transformed, a new creation. Work on by thy Spirit, and accomplish thy work amongst us. To the praise and to the glory of thy name we ask. Amen. At this stage, I'm going to go and ready myself for baptism together with all of the candidates. And at this stage, we're going to ask our brother George to come back and to sing to us. And then we're going to have a closing hymn. And then we'll have even the administration of baptism in just a few moments.
There's a line that's been drawn through the ages, and on that line stands the old rugged cross. On that cross, a battle is raging for the gain man's soul or his loss. On one side marks the forces of evil, all the demons and devils of hell. And on the other, the angels of glory, and they meet on Golgotha's hill. The earth shakes with the force of a conflict, and the sun refuses to shine, for there hangs God's Son in the balance. And then through the darkness he cries, "Oh, it is finished, the battle. It is finished. There'll be no more war. It is finished. The end of the conflict. It is finished. And Jesus is Lord." Still in my heart, the battles were raging. Not all prisoners of war had come home. These were battlefields of my own making. I didn't know that the war had been won. Then I heard that the King of all had fought all life's battles for me, and that victory was mine for the claiming. And now, praise his name, I am free. Oh, it's finished, the battle is over. It's finished, there be no more war. It is finished, the end of the conflict. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. It is finished, and Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord.
Well, our thanks to George for ministering to us tonight. He's about a long time, and so it's good to have him back in Lurgan tonight. We're going to sing our closing hymn, which is Softly and Tenderly, Jesus is Calling, Calling for You and for Me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching, watching for you and for me. Let's stand to sing our closing hymn. may be seated. We're going to go straight into baptism. As Johnny has said, tonight we have 10 candidates to be baptized. And the first one tonight is Kezia Hylands. Kezia Hylands was born on the 29th of July 2007 and has always attended this church with her family. Kezia had been at a CEF camp in Switzerland in August 2012 and was considering her need of salvation as a result of being at camp. While in the car with her mum, she asked her more about salvation. When they got home, they went upstairs to her room and her mum went through about how she could be saved, and right there, as a child of faith, trusted the Lord Jesus as her saviour. Kezia has been considering baptism for some time and has spoken to her mum and one of the BYF leaders, Chris, about it, and has decided to obey the Lord and get baptised tonight. A verse that means a lot to Kezia is found in Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an unexpected end.
Kezia, in your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
No pain.
Our next candidate is Brooke Weathers. Brooke was born on the 7th of April 2012 and has always attended this church with her family. At the age of 4 on the 20th day of April 2014, Brooke asked the Lord to save her. It was following the Easter Gospel Sunday service where Walton Gracie was preaching. The phrase, come now, stood out to her young mind and she trusted the Lord in the cure on her journey home. Brooke now wants to obey the Lord and get baptized. A verse that means a lot to Brooke is found in Joshua 1 and verse 9, have I not commanded thee? Be of strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest.
Brooke, in your confession of the Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
And open. For there's no one.
Our next candidate is Carrie Alice. Carrie was born on the 29th of February 2012 and attends this church with her family. When, as a very young child, was reading a book with her mother called Come Into My Heart, Lord Jesus, by Stormy O'Martin. It was after that book that Carrie put her trust in the Lord Jesus for salvation. She now wants to get baptized because she said the Bible says so. That's good. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 is a verse that means a lot to Carrie. It says that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus.
Carrie, on your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Stand open, for there's no...
Keturah Warburton. Keturah was born on the 29th of April 2014 and has always attended this church with her family. Keturah spoke of a time when she was 5 years old when she had asked the Lord into her heart, but as time passed away she could not recall and I was very concerned about it. On the 2nd of August 2021, after speaking to her parents about her concerns, she went off to her bedroom and returned to say that she had asked the Lord to save her. She recorded her little prayer on a little notebook as a reminder. It said, "Dear God, please take away my sins. Thank you for dying on the cross to take them away. In Jesus' name, amen." That's simple. She now wants to show everyone that she's being a Christian, as a Christian, and being baptized. The verse that means a lot to Keturah is Ephesians 2 and verse 8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God."
Keturah, in your profession of the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Okay, that's the females all done. We're on to the lads. Matthew Latham is our next candidate, and Matthew was born on the 30th of November 2009 and has always attended this church with his family. On the 16th of May 2021, after the breaking of bread service, he felt the need to get saved. He asked his dad about this and he explained it to him that afternoon in his own bedroom. He put his faith in the Lord Jesus for salvation. Matthew says that he feels the Lord has been calling him to get baptized. He loves that verse, Psalm 119, verse 105. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path."
Matthew, upon your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Matthew's brother Stephen is the next candidate. Happy night in the Latham house, isn't it? Stephen was born on the 11th of April 2007 and has always attended this church with his family. Stephen was saved after attending the boys' brigade. The leader was speaking to the boys about the importance of being saved. And that night when he got home, he asked his dad about it. That night in February 2013, as he was walking down the hall to his bedroom, he just stopped where he was and asked the Lord to save him. Recently, he has felt the Lord speaking to him about getting baptized. He loves that verse, Proverbs 3 and verse 6, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths."
Stephen, upon your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, and in obedience to our Lord's command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life.
Next is Oran Mitchell. Oran was born on the 26th of January 2006 and has always attended this church with his family. At the age of 6, he heard a message being preached on the rapture and was troubled about being left behind. He was thinking about this while in his car, at the car on his way home with his mum. And right there in the car, he asked the Lord to save him. Oran recalls that after telling his mum, he made a series of phone calls to share the good news. And the first he rang was his granny Tinsley, who went to be with the Lord last year. Oran now wants to obey the Lord and get baptized. He loves that verse, Philippians 4 and verse 13. "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me."
Oran, upon your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and in obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Is Peter Bird. Peter was raised in a Christian home, and at the age of 7, he attended a holiday Bible club in Kulkeavy Mission Hall, and it was there he heard the parable of the lost sheep explained, and through the work of the Holy Spirit, identified himself as a lost sheep, and committed his life to the Good Shepherd. Peter presents himself as a candidate tonight due to the working of the Spirit in his heart after listening to a recent message on baptism, and wishes tonight to publicly declare his faith and be obedient to the Lord's command. That verse, Isaiah 53 and verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all.
Peter, upon your profession of our Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, and obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Buried with him in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Ian Copeland. Ian was born on the 11th of August 1951. He got saved under the ministry of the Reverend McKee in the Presbyterian Church as a child. However, Ian wandered far away from the Lord for many years. Ian said the Lord used difficult circumstances in his life to give him the desire to get sorted out spiritually, and it was in March 2020 that he recommitted his life to the Lord and has been coming to the church here ever since. He loves that verse, 1 Peter 1 and verse 8. Whom not having seen ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory.
Ian, upon your profession of faith in our Lord Jesus Christ and obedience to his command, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Ben Kjarsen. Ben was raised in a Christian home, and from a young age heard the truth of the gospel. It wasn't until his granny Evelyn passed away in 2014 that the Lord began to work in Ben's heart, and under conviction of his sin, he called unto the Lord for salvation. Tonight Ben comes forward for baptism, knowing that it's a step of obedience to the Lord and a public confession that he is saved and ready for heaven. He loves that verse, 1 Timothy 1 and verse 12. For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day.
Ben, upon your public confession of our Lord Jesus Christ as Saviour and Lord, I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. Amen.
Isn't it an amazing thing that has happened tonight? And we see many young people and older making a commitment to the Lord. And especially Ben, who we all think of the world of in the assembly here. So we just pray that the Lord will bless them all as they take this great step in their work and in their witness for him. Let's just come before the Lord at the end of our meeting and ask them to bless all that has went on. Our God and our Father, we come into your presence tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank you, O God, tonight for your word. We thank you for the great message of the gospel. We thank you for this man who was blind and yet he received his sight. Thank you for one whose sins were many. And yet, O God, tonight thy mercy indeed is more. And we just pray that the word as went forth, O God, would find a resting place in each heart. Those that need to be encouraged tonight, we pray that they would be encouraged. And those that are still out of Christ tonight in our meeting that have heard the gospel, we pray that the Spirit of God would move, that he would convict souls tonight, that the light of the glorious gospel would shine into some heart, that chains of sin will be broken, and pray that many tonight would come to know the Saviour. We just thank you for those that have been baptized too, Lord, tonight. We pray for each one. We pray for Kezia. We pray for Brooke. We pray for Kerry. We pray for Keturah. We pray for Matthew. We pray for Stephen and Arlen and Peter and Ian and especially Ben. And we pray, Lord, that you would draw near to them in these days of commitment to thee, Lord. We pray as they live their lives day by day that people would know that they have been with Jesus. Thank you for all that has went on tonight. Thank you for our Saviour, the Lord Jesus. We pray that you would part us with your fear and with your favour and take us to our homes in safety. In Jesus' name, amen.